Shalom Aleichem, Abiyah 15613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Ayin Vav, Avodah Zarah 76a, pagination is 151, the last daf in Avodah Zarah. And we're dealing with the topic of Hechsher Kelim, kashering items from either a non-kosher use or from a mess-up that might have occurred in the kosher kitchen, such as milchiks, fleishiks getting mixed up. We mentioned that there are two types of hechsher, two types of kosherization. One is hagala, which is boiling water and purging the item with fresh water and typically discarding that water at that point. And the other method is libun, which is exposing the item that needs to be kosherized to the open flame, and at a certain heat intensity, it would get purged, cleansed of whatever improper taste is in the item. Now, there is a principle that's important to keep in mind of eino ben yomo, something that's out of its 24-hour period since the offensive action occurred, since its last use, more than 24 hours, has elapsed. At that point, the taste is expired, and in most cases, as it comes out, it gives a negative taste and would not actually compromise the food involved, because in most cases it's a negative taste. Nevertheless, there is an obligation to kosherize the item before it is intentionally used in its next situation. Similarly, before Pesach, we're busy kosherizing any item that was used with chametz, year-round use, if we want to use it for Pesach use. If you don't want to use it for Pesach, you could just put it away. But if you want to use it for Pesach, it has to be kosherized. Now, in the typical case of kosherizing using the boiling water method, we make sure that all items involved are aged 24 hours from their last use. That means the pot, and that means the utensils that are going to be purged. We bring water up to a boil inside the pot, and that pot, while it is still on the flame or burner, we make sure it's at a boil, and we begin immersing the different items, utensils, that we're looking to kosher. So if you have some forks, spoons, knives, you have some metal cups, different things, will immerse them. And the experts have developed many different methods to make sure not to get burnt. There's special mitts, tongs, baskets of different types, different ways that you could immerse the item into the boiling water without getting hurt. One of the intriguing questions that exists regarding kashering with boiling water is, how do you kasher a pot that's too big to fit into a different pot? In other words, if you have a small pot and it needs to be kashered, so just like a cup was put into a large pot and you kashered it, so you could take this medium-sized pot and put it in the bigger pot and kosher it. You got to be careful. Water is going to possibly overflow when you immerse such a big utensil, but it could be done. But when you have the biggest pot that you're working with, that's the biggest pot you have, how do you kosher that pot if you want to use it, let's say, for Pesach use? So there is a way to kind of work around the question, and that is, you could kosher this pot in a more intense method of koshering by popping it into the oven. The oven set at 550 will have intense heat. it's not quite Libun Chomer, it's not quite the high heat that's sometimes required, let's say for baking tins, but it is a fairly good level of heat. It's called Libun Kau, and that would kasher the pot. Keep in mind that you do have to check to make sure that there's no residue, physical residue, under the lip of the pot or embedded in the handles of the pot. If so, that would have to be cleaned out or burnt out. But assuming that the pot is nice and simple, you could just pop it in the oven, high heat, and as far as what's absorbed in the walls of the pot, that will kosher it. That method, however, is not usable if either the pot is too big to be popped in your oven, or if it has certain types of handles that would be ruined by putting them in the oven at such high heat, or if a person doesn't want the pot to get discolored, which it very well might get by leaving it in the oven at that high heat for a good 20 minutes, and the person still may be searching for a method to kasher this pot using the water method. Our Gemara describes the method which is used. Last line, Hahu Duda, there was a big pot, Tahavoi Beirav Akavya, some say is Ukva is the correct word, but our text says Rav Akavya, there was this big pot in his house, Ahadar Le Gidanfa, he created a rim, Delisha, out of dough, Apuma, by the opening of the pot, so that somehow he crafted something around the rim of the pot, Umel Yuha Maya, and then he filled it with water, so that this rim will hold the water to be contained as part of the pot, even above the rim of the pot, because this new rim is holding the water so that it's not sliding out. Va'arsecha, and he brought it to a boil, and this is how he kashered it. Apparently, and this was the concern, that even though you could boil up water in a pot, that's not a problem, and that would theoretically kasher the pot as far as everything beneath the rim. The problem here is that it's not totally kashered, because the rim, which also is exposed to whatever contents you're trying to kasher from, never really got water boiling on it. What was accomplished over here through this rim method is that the water is going to overflow, is going to continue boiling even on the rim of the pot, because this new rim is raising the height of the pot, so to speak, so that it could contain more water. Omar Rava, Rava said, Man Chakim, who could be so smart, Lemevet Kihai Milsa, to do like this solution, Ilav Rava Kavya, if not for him, Degava Rabahu, he's quite a person. Kosova Kibolo Kachpolto, the way it absorbed, that's the way it has to be kashered. Mabolo Benitzotzos, just like it absorbed based on the bubbling that's all the way up there. Avpolto benitzotzos, here also, this rim will enable the kashering water at its high heat to get to that level. Now, in a practical matter, we generally do not find people building rims, and the description here was out of dough. It seems that he was not kashering for Pesach. I don't know what kind of dough he would have been using. Typical dough is going to be chametz. In Hilchas Pesach Simen Taf Nun Beis Vav, a more practical method that's mentioned is Yikach Even Rosachas. You take a hot stone, you heat a stone on the open flame, a brick, something like that. V'yashlichenu l'socho ba'odo roseach, and you throw it into the pot, which is already filled decently with water. basically to the top, and you throw in this hot thing, and it causes an overflow. Firstly, because of this displacement, and secondly, because of the high heat, it bubbles over like a geyser, and the result is that the entire rim gets kashered as well. Now, apparently, the kashering of the rim could not simply be done by shaking the pot, because that anyone could have done, and they don't need all these solutions if that were true. And the reason is probably because we're worried that that rim is going to get kashered as an irui, as a pouring from the hot heat, and not as the hot heat itself. And it has to bubble over at high heat, and that's what we're looking for. I noticed another method which might be more practical for people than this hot stone, which is a little unwieldy. You got to make sure no one gets hurt. It's really hot. One method is to boil up a separate pot, which is smaller. Boil it up with water. Its metal becomes very hot, and the water in it is also boiling. And then, using the handles of the pot, the smaller pot, you can move the smaller pot and actually place it into the bigger pot. And again, we would have high heat causing displacement of the water, and the water would overflow. Of course, this is a little bit of a concern. It overflows. It possibly puts out your fire if it's a gas fire. You got to shut the fire immediately. You don't want to shut it early because you still want boiling and you want it to be the kli rishon. But as soon as you do the kashering, as it overflows, you'll be able to shut that flame, cut the electricity to it. And that is a method that's also used in such a situation. Many, many people try to avoid this method of kashering because it sends water all over. And many people, therefore, simply for Pesach purposes, for example, have a designated kashering pot that they use year after year. And they never actually kasher the pot because it just continues being used as a kashering pot. Had they wanted to use it for Pesach use, they would presumably be kashering it. But they don't. They put it away together with other kashering utensils and simply use it for kashering, in which case they have this very big pot, enables them to kasher all other things with Haggalah, and it itself does not necessarily need to be kashered. Hadron Aloch Meseches Avodah Zarah, we daven for the opportunity to learn the Mesechta more thoroughly in the future. Yeshakoach, thank you for joining.